If you're a Seattle voter, you're going to decide whether to pay for plans to build a monorail line between Ballard and West Seattle. Does a monorail ballot measure sound familiar to you? Well, that's because we've already voted on it 5 times before. We asked people in Seattle's University District what they thought about the monorail ballot measure this time around.
I love monorails. I rode it Saturday night. I think more rail is always useful. Just basically rail that's not affected by traffic, where you always know what the schedule is going to be. I find the existing light rail very useful. I'm very excited about when it'll go to Northgate. The monorail, though, I haven't studied the issue, like why a monorail versus the same light rail technology that we would have, or why a monorail instead of an elevated light rail.
I think that the monorail vote is ridiculous. It's a waste of money. We now have money for Metro. They're putting multiple bus things on. We have the trolley. It is a nightmare. It is unnecessary. No one needs it. Some woman single-handedly got it put on there. Vote no, 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 no.
In August, Crosscut's Knute Berger told Ross Reynolds there are two big reasons why the idea of the monorail won't just go away.
One is that Seattle's geography is problematic. We're on a narrow isthmus. We're pinched at the waist. North-south routes are few and far between. This was recognized as a problem very early on in the city's development. We also have canals and waterways and hills that interrupt everything. And so for a long time, people have been looking for ways of getting those routes to run smoother, being able to move people more briskly. At the World's Fair itself, there was a map of Puget Sound in the future that showed monorail going to all the Puget Sound islands. You could ride across Elliott Bay to Bainbridge in a monorail. The other thing about the World's Fair, it was a demonstration project, but there were hopes that it would expand into something more. And so they wanted to extend it to SeaTac. There was talk about running monorail around the kind of perimeter of Seattle. So the problem of geography didn't go away, and the appeal of expanding a mass transit system didn't go away either.
And yet in 97, when it really got revived, it was not the grand transportation planners who brought this forward. As you mentioned, it was a cab driver who just wanted to crystallize this idea. It had very modest beginnings, and then kind of much, I think, to the surprise of many people in Seattle, it caught fire and people voted for it.
Well, it did. And the way it rolled out in a sequence of votes where people got to kind of dip their toes in the water. So people got to vote on, well, should we have some money to plan monorail? And then how should we run it? And then, you know, each vote seemed to take us further and further down the monorail rail. And that's a kind of incrementalism that appealed to the grassroots. It was seen as judicious on the part of the planners. And I think part of it had to do with just simply the frustration that Seattle's transportation planning wasn't keeping up with the city's growth and its transportation problems. And the theme of Rise Above It All was sort of suggesting, look, we can, you know, we don't have to build subways. We can go the other way. We can have this pretty view. You can glide along. Monorail was always touted as something that was quiet, unobtrusive. And it kind of appealed to that Jetsons idea of what the future ought to be like.
The end was rather abrupt. I mean, it had gone along, and I believe there were like at least 3 or 4 public votes in the affirmative to go ahead with the monorail. But when the ending came, it was fairly quick.
It had a lot of momentum until people began to see the financial figures that suggested just how expensive it was going to be to get it up and running. It was going to be in over $10 billion to get this thing. They were going to have to finance it with what was essentially junk bonds. It began to seem very sketchy, and people were like, wow, this is not what we signed up for.
Were any lessons learned from the monorail the last time around when it failed so spectacularly?
Well, I think the initial lesson was, you know, who talked us into this? maybe to bring more skepticism earlier in the process. I think the best lesson is develop a really good transportation plan and execute it. Don't do it one piece at a time.
Knute Berger writes for crosscut.com. He's a frequent guest on KUOW. He talked to Ross Reynolds about why we love that idea of a monorail. A proposal to fund plans for another monorail line is on the Seattle ballot.